If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's where we're taking episode ideas. We're actually taking the one today from there. Make sure you're subscribed. Again, put the link right here in the description. You got 10 channels on there. You get everything for $2.99 per month. Communicate with us, communicate with Heat fans, and get away from Elon Musk's Twitter or X or whatever it is he's calling these days. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friend Nelson and his family, his team at Mobile CRM Staffing Services, 561-891-9620. Huge Miami Heat fans. But here's the biggest thing. If you work in a medical office or a hospital and you need x-ray equipment, they will bring it to you. They'll also bring the staffing. They take care of everything. It's all on their website, which again is c-armandstaffing.com. Again, c-armandstaffing.com, 561-891-9620. Make sure you tell them Five Reasons sent you. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Hi, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. We got Greg Sylvander. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander. We are trying to do episodes every day of the offseason, take you right up into training camp in the Bahamas, which will be in late September. We'll give you more details as the Heat give that out. But yes, this is a Herculean task, one of the hardest things I've ever had to engage in, to come up with topics through the entire offseason when the team got eliminated in the first round. I mean, we had all – last year was easy. Like, we rolled right into June, right into July, still had the aftermath in August. This year, this thing was over at the end of April, and so it was May, it was June. None of you wanted to watch the Celtics in the finals, so we weren't going to talk about any of that. Free agency, nothing happened, really, of any significance, but we did have summer league. And of course we've had some good developments for the Heat this offseason. General Greg, it's been, a good offseason with the exception of the transaction stuff that Heat fans may be upset about because there wasn't enough of it, but like everything else has been good. I mean, Bam, tremendous, just a tremendous turn on the USA team. Everything about that was positive. Jaquez looked great in summer league when he played. Khalil Ware was on the all summer league team. Larson, their second round pick, hits the big shot in summer league. Jovic didn't play as much as maybe we hoped or thought for Serbia, but he got a bronze medal. He did contribute in some ways there. Rozier appears to be on his course to be healthy for camp, as does Duncan Robinson. Like, all the other stuff has been pretty good. Okay. But even if it's pretty good, and this is the topic today, we're going to do more of a philosophical episode here, which Greg and I do sometimes. Even if it's pretty good, it's probably not going to get the Heat a championship. And the only thing that has been sort of a negative this offseason is kind of the chatter about Jimmy Butler and the extension about whether he's going to be here long term. And of course, if the Heat are going to win a championship in the next couple of years, probably they're going to need Jimmy Butler to be on the team or be a big part of it. But I'm just going to ask this question because Pat Riley once framed it this way, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily his guiding force at age 79. Is it still, in your view, a winning or misery proposition for the Miami Heat? Because Pat Riley has used that quote, obviously, in the past. It's attributed to him. I mean, if you go on Google and you Google winning or misery, Pat Riley's name and face come up. There's winning and there's misery. Do you think that is still – that is that the dichotomy for the modern, current Miami Heat? Before we get into your view on it, do you think it's their view?
No, I don't. I don't think it's their view at all. I think that there's been – an evolution. I mean, people have to remember, like, this is the guy that said at the championship parade on stage, and next year we're going to win it again. And then they went and won it again. Like, he's different. So he's wired different. And I don't want to discount that. But I do think as time has gone on, there's been humbling that's taken place. Like, he's been humbled many times in Miami. I mean, never mind New York or LA, just in Miami. I think if you kind of walk through the Alonzo Mourning scenario with his health and Chris Bosh with his health, you start to Dwayne Wade and his exit, and then like understanding kind of what, how that fractured the fan base and how that was felt and how it sent ripple effects around the league about like how they treated him. And just, it may have been optics to some degree, but it is what was out there. I think a bigger picture perspective comes into play. And so, like, it sounds cool. Like, trust me, the 1997 me, when Timmy scored 38 in game six and they eliminated the Knicks, I was running around screaming, there's winning and there's misery. And I thought we were going to win a championship one day. And, but in retrospect, just being in the conference finals as a Heat fan was such a big deal. Like, I'm taking us way back. So, I just feel like even back in that time, there was perspective in that, man, we had never been there before. And I think that that is, it rings true in a lot of ways. A lot of people think about like the 03-04 season as being one of their favorite Heat teams, didn't win anything. I think there's a lot of examples like that. This Heat build has been really fun. I mean, you can't discount two finals trips. It's been fun. And they haven't won yet, but it hasn't been misery. I mean, miserable is the damn Charlotte Hornets. It's the Orlando Magic to some degree, maybe less so, but the Hornets is a good example. I can rattle off more. I just think that the Heat in general don't operate that way. And I think that it's actually showed in some of the patience that they've made with not being willing maybe to put everything on the table for certain guys like Bradley Beal, et cetera. They didn't overreact to certain scenarios. So to me, it doesn't signal a winning or misery mentality, even if that is the tagline that has sometimes followed the culture to some degree.
I wish I would have asked that question of Riley at his end of year presser. This is why I wish we could talk to him more than once, because you typically get like two questions a year if you're lucky. I got two in at that presser. Because I wonder if he still views it that way or if it just sounded good at the time. You know, again, it's funny because I read The Winner Within. I think everybody who covered the Heat, I was not covering the Heat Riley's first year. I actually started covering them in, well, I guess halfway through his first year. I did. I was there for the Hardaway trade and all that. But when he arrived, the beat guys, like they all like crash read The Winner Within, which is actually about his Laker experience. But also, it's, I think he published it during his Knicks experience from what I remember. And I had read it, but again, I wasn't covering the team at the time, but they all read it. And I remember he told one of the writers, it might've been Ira. If it wasn't, I apologize, but you know, that he hated that book at that point. So I don't know if he still holds to all of, and I recommend, honestly, Heat fans read it. I do. Cause I think it gives you a perspective on how he built the culture of this organization. Even if some of the stuff he may not necessarily feel the same way about at this time. And it's just great stuff in there. Like, the art of something like of temporary insanity and all that. He has all these phrases for all these different things. And as you look back, you'll think of things that happened during the Heat era that were somewhat reminiscent of what might have happened with him with the Lakers and with the Knicks. But what's interesting about him is that, and you mentioned patience, is that you would think as someone gets older, they become less patient, right? Because there is a timeline for all of us.
Oh yeah.
And he's 79 years old, and there's a timeline for how long you're going to work at a high level and also how long you're simply going to be on this planet. And yet, okay, my observation of Riley, and I did cover him every day for a few years when I was a beat guy, when he was the coach, and obviously have been at, you know, pretty much all of the pressers since and everything else, is that he's mellowed a little. I think become more sentimental over time. And we've seen that play out with various athletes. Obviously the Dwayne thing, I think, hurt him very much personally, the way that played out, him kind of backing out of it in 2016 because he had in 2015 and sort of backfiring and Dwayne feeling like betrayed and all that, and that relationship breaking down at that time, and other things that have happened. You know, the Bosch thing, I think, was painful for the organization because they were trying to do the right thing. They did do the right thing. I said at the time, but Chris didn't understand it at the time. I think he does now. And then the LeBron thing, which he was just personally hurt by. And I referenced the only time I've ever gotten in his office, which was supposed to be like a 5-minute interview, and he wasn't supposed to talk about LeBron at all, and it turned into 45 minutes and was all him talking about LeBron and just how personally hurt he was about how sort of the chain and that generational team was broken and they were all going to go to each other's barbecues, and LeBron broke that up and sort of his hurt about that. If LeBron was still here, I think Pat probably retires a long time ago, but it's like he's chasing trying to win one more post LeBron. That's sort of what it feels like to me. But I have sensed, again, he's become more and more sentimental over time. It comes across when he speaks publicly about some of the players, his personal reference for the guys like Haslam and others. And Pat has done many sentimental things for former players in the past. I've referenced this one too, Brian Grant. When after Brian, and I wrote a long piece about this, talked to a lot of people about it. When Brian had come down with Parkinson's disease or was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he held the Shake It Till You Make It event out in Oregon. And Pat not only made the trip and gave the keynote speech, but handed him one of his forever cards. He was one of his forever men. He keeps these cards in his wallet, or he did at the time. So there's a sentimentality to him that is, I think, perceived a certain way by the fan base as softness at this point. It's the whole Pat is asleep type thing, that maybe he doesn't care as much about the winning at the being the last team standing as he did before, because it's more about the people that he's with and sort of the relationships that have been built. And I've said many times, and I'll go to you on this, Greg, now, is I said many times that I think his greatest achievement for this organization, other than the structure that's been created, which has been a sustainable structure, which really only one other organization in the sport has, which is San Antonio. They are the two to me. Obviously, San Antonio's in a down period. It's not going to last very long with Wemby. But they're the two organizations to me. They're the class model organizations in the past quarter century. But I think that is perceived. What I wanted to say was I think his greatest achievement is look at the people he's put in place and how it will sustain after his eventual departure, where the best coach in the league came out of the video room, okay, which Pat identified him, inherited him, but identified him, helped develop him, and now has allowed him to grow in his own space and coach in a different way, completely different than Pat would have coached. And then obviously the best cap guy in the league, who's now the general manager, who was a PR intern at one point way back when, predating Pat and Andy Ellisberg. And then Adam Simon, who to me is the best college evaluator in the league right now. I think we've seen that over and over and over. And that's another guy that Pat has empowered. To me, that is becoming more of his legacy now with the organization. And I think for the fans, that's not enough, because for the fans, they want to see what I've termed as cutthroat Pat. Okay, guy doesn't, you know, and we saw it a little in the press conference, Greg, with the availability, but then he took on Jimmy, who is kind of the marker of, you know, the standard bearer of this era. Do you think he's gotten softer? Like, would you frame it that way?
No, I think that that's going too far because, I mean, he just sat up there. I mean, it was. I know it's been a long off season, but he just sat up there, publicly challenged the best player on the franchise, called Tyler Hero fragile along the way. Basically, everyone but Bam caught a stray to some degree, it felt like, in that moment. And I know for a fact that he doesn't always agree with what Spo does on the coaching side. He does not. And so I think that he's probably – I mean, you heard Andy at Summer League. It was a great interview on Sirius XM or somewhere like that. I heard Andy Ellisberg on, and he said Pat wanted to check everyone's everyone's trunks, all of his assistant coaches' trunks for golf clubs. And because he wanted to see like who was in it to really dig into the process and get like, and who wants to go on vacation. And Andy said, and I got rid of my golf clubs right after that. And so I just think that there's probably some truth to cutthroat Pat Riley. But also I think as you get older, because I've experienced this in my own damn life, and I'm obviously nowhere near as old or frankly or wise as Pat Riley is, but you start to realize that like you can't live in absolutes like that, winning in misery and being so cutthroat, and it's just not a way to be. And so I think that this is, to call it soft though, I mean, I didn't see any other general managers necessarily challenging their franchise players this offseason.
That's true. And I think sometimes people perceive it more in the transactional sense. Like, okay, they want somebody doesn't perform to a certain level or a contract, we'll get rid of it. Right. And I know there are certain players on the roster. We don't need to get over specific on it, but we know, okay, who the fans are after right now. It's mostly Tyler. And I think a lot of that is unwarranted, as I've said, but he has become sort of the lightning rod. Here it was Duncan before that, right? Like, I mean, there's always going to be a guy. It was Whiteside before that. That was warranted, by the way. But I think that when you look at, they say transactional, and they just want him to do something, and they feel like, okay, if he's not doing anything, then either he's lost his touch. And some of it is, look, the game has changed. The CBA changed on them. There is an adjustment period. Some of the things we've talked about, they couldn't really foresee, like those bonuses that they gave Tyler, et cetera. Other things have been out of their control. We're going to do a Cronin episode, a Joe Cronin episode eventually here. We're going to go through what Joe Cronin actually got last offseason. It's pathetic. But the Heat, I mean, whatever. If he wasn't going to deal with the Heat, he wasn't going to deal with the Heat. But I think some people do perceive it in more of a transactional way, and that he just hasn't done enough, so that he must be okay with being okay. Right. Like that's the thing. Like, because you're looking at the last 2 years, I mean, they were a play-in team. Like, yes, the finals run happened. We're not going to ignore it. We enjoyed it. It was brilliant coaching, was brilliant work by Jimmy and some of the players that they had to do to accomplish it. But again, this has been a team that over the last 2 years has essentially had a flat net rating. Like last year, they didn't beat anybody of significance during the regular season. Like we kept looking for a good win. And so I think that when you look at O'Reilly, who had, you know, Magic and Jabbar and Worthy and Wilkes and I briefly Nixon, well, and all the rest of the players he had in LA, and then, you know, what he put together in New York, what he put together in Miami, they're kind of like, okay, is he all right with, you know, being sort of on the fringe of one of those teams? And I think it feels to some fans, more so I think in the social media space than in the stands, that he's softened in that way. And so I think what we want to get back to, I think what we'll get to on the other side of this break is like, how, what do we take out of it? Like, is it winning or misery for us as observers? And should it be for fans? Because you made the point, like they've had two finals runs and another conference finals. They were one shot of three finals in 5 years. I mean, Sacramento, what, missed the playoffs, what, 17 straight years? They had one run and they started lighting the beam. I mean, they won one playoff series that year. Did they even win a playoff? I can't remember.
You mentioned Cronin. You talk misery. There's some misery.
Exactly. And I think even closer to home here. Now, the Panthers have sort of changed the whole dichotomy here because they've done a lot of Riley-like things and won a championship. Okay. Like Zito is the hot GM down here, rightly so, for what he's accomplished. But again, we're trying to build up hope in the Dolphins team and saying, can they finally win a fucking playoff game? And it's been since December 30th, 2000. That is misery. Okay. I covered that franchise for years. I was the number two columnist at the Sentinel, along with Dave Hyde, in 2002 to 2010. I had to cover a lot of Dolphins. Okay. I knew none of that shit was going anywhere. Okay. I mean, 2008 was the 1 year, the Pennington Wildcat year, and then they won up. I was up in the Meadowlands. They won up at, you know, they beat Favre on that last day. And it was literally like they won the Super Bowl because they won one division title. I mean, there's only four damn teams in the division. It ain't that hard, okay? And yet, and then they bombed at home in the playoff game, and we're trying to build hope in them again. I mean, that is what the Dolphins have put their fans through, okay, until this recent semi-renaissance where they still haven't won a playoff game, but at least they have an interesting coach and an exciting offense. That is misery. What the Marlins have put their fans through, such as those fans still are, that is misery, okay? When even the Marlins fans are like, if you move the team at this point, we don't really care. What the Heat have done to their fans is not misery at all, okay? But Pat Riley did say there's winning or misery, and I guess it does depend on whether or not winning, you know, 47 games and going out in the first round, is that considered winning? Is it the conference finals? And after the big three, is anything good enough? Because with that, it wasn't even winning or misery. It was relief or misery. Really, that was what we were dealing with. All right, we'll talk about where we are with it. I do want to mention another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. That initial deposit, we used to tell you one-to-one match. It's not that anymore. It's better. You put down $5, they're handing you 50. $5, make a play, $50 into your account for you to use on other plays going forward, on other lineups. Legal again in the state of Florida. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. I can tell you in Florida, the lines, well, not the lines, but the props for the season openers are already up. Tyreek Hill, I think 89.5 yards. If you want to play that one over, we'll see if he gets to that first game healthy. But go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space. And that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's F-I-V-E-F-L-O-O-R, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
So, okay, I want to go to you here and say, I will say this, all right? To me, as a reporter, and I'm not a day-to-day reporter anymore, as I'm a lot of the home games. For me as a reporter, I just want the team to be interesting. Like, I just want the interesting personalities. I covered the 2003-04 season, and that season was interesting. That season was supposed to be absolutely miserable. They started 0-7. Everybody was saying Stan was in way over his head. There was a column written that they were the worst team in NBA history after the seventh game of the season. They ended up 42-40, and not only did they beat New Orleans in the first round, but they took a very good Indiana team to six games, okay? That team was interesting. They didn't win a championship, as you mentioned. They were interesting. I will say that team was more interesting than the team we just covered last year.
Last year was pretty brutal. And
right.
You know, like one thing, and I don't mean to interrupt if you were going to continue to go. But
I want you to go in there. Because
there is one part of this, though. And I think you and I, who have well chronicled all the years of Riley in Miami – I think both of us, but correct me if you don't agree, have been a little surprised that this roster is still intact. That, like, if we just keep it to the roster building part that the fans are so, you know, rabid about, that they want change, etc. I think if you really reflect on all the builds, it is pretty damn interesting. Like, it is a pivot from what he's done previously to hold on to this group this long. So it does beg the question if something has changed. I don't mean in a sense of him losing his touch, how you phrased it earlier. It's not really that. It's more of philosophically what's changed. Is there a different timeline in place? Is there just a broader view of everything than there was back then when it seemed to be just about winning? And they would flip, you know, we saw such drastic change with like the P.J. Brown and Jamal Mashburn for Brian Grant. And
But that took 4 years, though. I mean, that took 4 years against the Knicks, four series going to the last game until that last one. They were all like in the front office. A lot of the same people are there. We're like, we can't do this again. But it took them 4 years. But again, it was easier to make trades then, too. Like it was, because the cap was not, you weren't dealing with aprons and all these other things. And I know that where some fans are going to go with this, where they're like, okay, is it winning or misery for ownership? Like that's where this sometimes goes. But again, I don't blame the Heat for not going to the second apron. It is just, it's a ridiculous move to do it unless you are like guaranteeing yourself a championship. Boston, with what they have right now, okay. Yes. All right. You pay it. You deal with it. Okay. You're going to lose all these other vehicles. But if you're going to go all in, then you go all the way to the damn end. But where Miami is right now, I can't justify going into the second apron. I can't. And that does preclude them from doing a lot of these things. But you mentioned it is longer. But let me ask you this question. Okay. So let's go back to the bubble, right? First year of this build. Okay. They drafted Tyler before Jimmy came in. Bam was already here. Those three and Duncan are the only four left, right?
Yes. I mean, UD made it all the way through and is still around, but obviously not rostered. But yeah, that's everyone.
Well, and I think that's the front office's frustration, because they hear this term run it back. And they, you know, someone actually asked me in the front office, what does running it back mean? Because we talk about it all the time. And I said, I think to the fans, it means Tyler's still on the roster.
Now it does.
And the person laughed. But I think that's because, and I think the reason for that, I don't think it's Tyler specific. I think it is because of the fact that Pat in the past has traded the third guy. And this time he hasn't to this point. It's always been the third guy. It's like at a certain point, it's like, okay, we have this two person core. And I mean, Timmy and Zoe, right? Okay. We're going to flip. Mash was the third guy. PJ was the stable guy, but Mash was the third guy.
For sure.
Okay. And then it was Shaq and Dwayne and Eddie. Right. And then at a certain point, but it was interesting because Mash was basically flipped for Eddie, but then multiplayer trade, but then you end up trading Eddie and you've got other pieces where it wasn't, you know, we've talked about that trade a lot, but the trade I didn't like that blew up in my face, but like Antoine Walker and all the other, and Posey, et cetera.
Antoine was paid on that extent when he got the contract that sent him to Miami. He was paid to kind of be a third guy and then got flipped for Ricky Davis when they tried to like figure out another solution there. So
that backfired. And Antoine was never going to be a long-term option for them, I don't think. But it was like, okay, what can we squeeze out of him? And then, you know, Antoine famously told us in the locker room in Dallas in 06 that he was going to keep drinking through the entire offseason. He was a man of his word because he came back to camp and he and Posey were both suspended for being out of shape. They knew that that was a team that could detonate like at any time. It's just that, and I thought it would detonate and I ended up being wrong basically because Dwayne went nuclear, which again, I'll own up to it. But I guess the point is, like, if you look at previous teams, okay, in the big three, it was winning or misery. Like there was no other option. Like it was misery, even though they got to the finals in 2011. It was just that it was easy to scapegoat LeBron on that because he deserved to be the scapegoat of that. 2014, we kind of saw the run was kind of coming to an end. And so I don't know that we necessarily expected them. I didn't even think they'd get back to the finals that year, the way that they were playing. So the fact that they lost wasn't that big a deal. I think since then we have recategorized it a little bit because I never thought, and I'll go to you here to close. After covering the big three, okay, which I covered home and road, and I mentioned the Dolphins. I was stuck covering a lot of Dolphins, and I remember being at the ceremony in 2010, the not one, not two, not three, not four thing, and I was standing there with Sedano, and we're standing there together, and he looks at me, he goes, "You're going to keep covering the Dolphins?" And I just looked at him, I said, "Nah, I need to be covering this every day." And that's when I was fortunate because the Palm Beach Post decided to bring back their heat coverage. And since I had done it before, I was like, yes, I'll take it. Okay, be the columnist. I'll leave the Sentinel, I'll go to the Palm Beach Post. To me, that was the master's degree of like sports journalism. Like I had a master's for that, but not a real one because you have to actually do it. And like to cover that team on a day-to-day basis, there's nothing that will ever match that professionally for me. Nothing. Like it was... They were the first Twitter team. They had the most interesting personalities. They had Bron. We had the crowds on the road. I mean, you know, they hated him in Portland. He was never going to Portland. Okay. Like it was just everything. And you had the most reporters and you were competing on a daily basis as a journalist. Okay. And I said, after that was over, I will never cover anything like that again. Okay. Like that was it. Like that is, I will never have anything quite that good, that exciting. Yeah, I can remember everything from those games, the Millsap threes, everything, Wayne Ellington going off on them in Memphis, all these circumstances. And I'll say this, and this is what I'll say about the Jimmy era. The Jimmy era has come close. Like as boring as last regular season was, in terms of like some of the moments, the excitement, the game against Milwaukee that he had, the whole bubble run, the way Dragic played, the, you know, all of this stuff, like, and that to me, as I look at it as an observer, like nothing was going to match the big three era, but to me, they've kind of won in this era, even though they haven't won. Okay. Like that's how I view it. But I understand the fan because I never thought anything would get close and it has, and I give them credit for putting something else together. But I do understand the fans, Greg, who say, and you've said this too, if you were that close, okay, and it is winning or misery, then where has the final push been? And why does it feel now like we're actually saying it's okay to take a step back? That, okay, we push this as far as we can, and now maybe there's no Jimmy extension, and now maybe we're rebuilding around Bam and some of the young players, and there is a sensible reason to do that, okay? And 20 games into the season, I might be in support of that. But it doesn't feel, like you said, like the Heat to, like, say, all right, we pushed this as far as we could, but we didn't get over the finish line. Reset. Not rebuild. Reset, reframe, reload, however you want to call it. It does feel different. I will say that.
I can't believe a retool hasn't happened. I really can't. Like, I thought for sure in one of the two last off seasons that it would happen. I think the Dame, and I hate that I have to bring this up on this episode, but I really think that the Dame trade was a curveball, that it was a layup. And I think a lot of people expected it to be a layup and it didn't happen. And that was the move. And it just was. And it felt a little bit like they've been reeling to figure out what's next. I mean, I think we know Bam is next and stuff like that. And the young players, we've chronicled all that. I don't know why I'm using that word a lot today. But it is a little, I mean, I understand where fans come from, where they start to think about Jimmy's timeline, Pat's timeline, you know, Spoelstra being the, you know, people are calling him the best head coach on planet Earth right now. And it's like, why are you not going all in with that guy? Eventually, Bam's going to turn 30. Like, you know, not now, but eventually. And so you just start to ask the questions of when are you going to go all in? And I think just Heat fans are so used to that. I wouldn't say that this era, and I'm surprised you said what you did, it has came close to what the Big Three has been, because the rock star mentality of that era, I don't think – it has been there, but some of the moments, you're right, it has been, because they've been so unexpected, it's like a pure joy that you kind of get to witness it, because you didn't have the expectations. The one thing about when LeBron left, and I'm veering off just for a moment, that there was a little bit of like a, I mean, maybe it was just me, but like, every game felt like it was so pressurized, and you had to win every game, and you got laughed at if you didn't. It was exhausting. And I did feel like some of the teams with Jimmy on them, because you didn't have those expectations, it was sweeter to get there in certain ways, because you didn't feel the pressure that you had to do it. And so that's why it's kind of changed my philosophy on some of this winning or misery stuff. And I understand why fans would be frustrated. And I do think that it is a weird moment where like the franchise is kind of at a crossroads. And so it's going to make this season interesting in one way or the other, just in from the perspective of learning what direction they're going to go, how this Jimmy Butler situation is going to be handled. But it does seem a little bit like the all out winning mentality. There is at least some they're measuring things now in a different way. I don't know how else to quantify it other than to say that they're definitely, the temperature check is just different these days.
Well, I think you're right. And I think you are right about why I view this as close to the Big Three, because this organization, I think, operates better chasing than being chased. But it's a funny dichotomy. And so those moments were sweeter to have Jimmy doing these things that you're like, wait a second, like Giannis is supposed to be better than him. Why is he outplaying Giannis? Why is he outplaying this guy? Why is this team in the bubble coming together the way it's come together and then forward? But I think it's kind of a two-pronged thing here, and they seem like they're at odds with each other. This organization, I think, operates best chasing, but yet – the fans want them to have enough pieces, okay? Even if the rest of the country and the media doesn't see it, they want them to have enough pieces to actually catch what they're going for. And I think that's the thing. It's like, okay, we're chasing, we're underdogs, nobody believes in us, ESPN will talk about Golden State and the Lakers and all these other things. So, yeah, we're going to sneak up on all your asses. But we have enough, okay, in a real way, not in a Spoelstra saying it because he's trying to empower his players and all the rest of this, but in a real way, we have enough to get over the finish line. And the reality is they have it, okay? They have it. Against Denver, you could play that series with Hero, without Hero. You could play that series a million times. They're losing that series. They're just losing that series. Agreed. Like, they were not as good as that team. Denver has lost some pieces since, but, like, they were not as good as that team. The Laker series, there was the pre-COVID heat. There was the post-COVID heat. You know, they were kind of falling apart pre-COVID. Then they kind of got it together. They found a play style. Dragic was playing probably the best basketball of his Heat career at that point. And again, if Goran doesn't get hurt, if Bam doesn't get hurt, you never know. Because I don't think that was a great Laker team. I really don't. And I think they could have won it, particularly in those circumstances, because they were the best coach, the best condition, the best, all of that stuff. And they deserved credit for that instead of being slandered for it. The reality is the reason they succeeded in the bubble was because they're so well run. That's why. Like, you don't count that against a team. That's part of what makes a team and an organization great. They deserved a shot at the championship. But last year, they didn't have enough. This year, again, they don't have enough. They have enough to transition to something else. And they have more pieces to work with going forward. And they have some interesting stories that I think more interesting stories than they had last year. But they don't necessarily have enough. And I think that is, again, that's where Heat fans, they want to chase. They're fine with the chasing. Okay. The big three era, I think, was uncomfortable for Heat fans. But they were kind of chasing in the Timmy Zoe years too. You know, they were chasing Jordan. They were chasing that. It's just that they got tripped up by the Knicks, you know, three times before they really had a shot. I think we're going to find out a lot in the first, and we'll close here, a lot in the first 20 to 30 games this year about what direction they really want to go. And if they get off to kind of a 14-14 start, they're kind of middling again, net rate, not beating anybody good, net rating about flat. Then I think we're going to have those conversations about, okay, you know what? We take the era for what it was, and now it's time to pivot and start kind of a new build. And I think that's when we start to have the conversations of, in February or late January, what can you get for your franchise player? That's going to be, to me, that's kind of where this is headed. This, if they get off to a good start, they will sell themselves on having a chance to be contenders. They
agree.
They always do. Okay. But if they don't, we're going to look a little different. Anyway, all over the place on this, but wanted to give you our thoughts on it because it has come up a lot. And there's an interesting discussion on or off the floor about this. Everybody wants championships. I want an interesting team to follow, cover, and a team that has a chance to surprise at times, win big if things break right. They've basically provided that over the past, you know, Pat's provided that over the past 30 years, but I don't think he's planning on working until 85 or 90 and not winning another one. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to our sponsor, c-armandstaffing.com. We said we'd go 15 minutes. Greg and I get on these narrative topics. These could be like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to our sponsor, Prize Picks. Use the code 5, FIVE.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.